Well, heroes with halos in stained glass windows. I imagine, yeah, it wasn't meant to rhyme, actually, but there are. But that's the picture that I think lots of people probably have in their back of their minds about saints. It was mine for the early part of my life, because we were Baptists, and I mean, saints were sort of Anglican or Catholic things, which we had nothing to do with at all. But, you know, when you think about it, saints are far more than that, because in stained glass windows, they seem so far removed from everyday life. And yet if you read the Good News Bible, it actually translates saints as God's people. And there's a hymn, at least in the Baptist hymn book, that says we are called to be God's people. So there's a link there. And there are things, I think, that can encourage us in our Christian life about the saints. And the first thing is that there are going to be three things, by the way, so you know how we're going. So many of even the big name saints were flawed. They actually got it wrong sometimes. We seem to think, don't we, we're 2,000 years away from Christ being on earth. Well, if we'd been around and heard his teaching and been there, it would all have been wonderful. Well, St. Peter, after 3 years in Jesus' presence, denied ever knowing his Lord. St. Thomas initially doubted the resurrection. St. Paul once persecuted Christians, and then when he became a Christian, he had very odd views about women. You'd have to cover your head in church and keep quiet. And he had big arguments with Peter, much more seriously, over whether the gospel was actually even for Gentiles, and whether Gentiles had to become Jews before becoming Christians. St. Matthew was originally a tax collector, which goes to show that anybody, therefore, can become a saint if he could. And the disciples argued more than once over who was to be the greatest in the kingdom. So it wasn't all sweetness and light in the New Testament, either when Jesus was ministering or in the early church. I mean, Paul wrote to one group of Christians and said, "Your services of worship do more harm than good." I mean, they really did get it sometimes spectacularly wrong. But then they had their moments, all these people, because they were like us. They were ordinary human beings. But God used these people, amazingly. He met them and transformed them. He redirected their lives. Just the thought, if he could do it with their lives, he can surely do the same with us. Saints can encourage us, secondly, because of their legacy. What's come down to us from them. We have four Gospels, all different, but giving us together the whole picture of Jesus. Matthew is very keen to make links to the Old Testament. Mark gives you the straight account. Luke wants to emphasize that God's love is for all. You only have the parable of the prodigal son in Luke, a wonderful story. And John has reflected deeply on the things that Jesus has said. I mean, in John we have John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life." With verse 17 that isn't quite so well known, "God did not send his son into the world to be its judge, but to be its saviour." And the wonderful words, "In my Father's house are many mansions." I much prefer that. The new translation of "In my Father's house are many rooms," it makes it sound a bit like a travel lodge, doesn't it? But, you know, in a house there are mansions, gets you thinking pictorially of how wonderful and vast it is. There are other legacies of saints not in the Bible. St. Richard of Chichester from 800 years ago, who gave us the prayer, "Lord, may I come to know thee more clearly, follow thee more nearly, and love thee more dearly, day by day." A wonderful prayer that we can all echo. Or St. Francis of Assisi, "Make me an instrument of your peace," and that's become one of the wonderful modern hymns, hasn't it? Sometimes saints faced real crises. St. Boniface was a monk from Crediton in Devon, quite close to where I was born. He is actually the patron saint of brewers, so quite popular in some quarters today anyway. But he went 1,200 years ago to France and Germany, to the pagan tribes who were living there then, to preach the good news of Jesus, and they put him to death. But facing being put to death, these are words attributed to him: Let us not return evil for evil. The long-expected day has come, and the time of our departure is at hand. Strengthen yourselves in the Lord. Fear not them which can destroy the body, but put your trust in God, who will give you an eternal reward and admit you into his heavenly kingdom. I'm not too sure that too many of us facing execution would be as eloquent or as faithful as that. And we know from Scripture Stephen saying at his martyrdom, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Right at the end of his life, St. John, when very old, wrote, little children, love one another, for God is love. And I thought, as we look back over the history of the Christian church, how he got it right talking to the believers as little children. Because little children are lovely people. But they will squabble over things that don't matter, won't they? At the drop of a hat. And I think very often Christians do that. We need to love one another. Great thoughts and insights. Riches to inspire us. And if you think all that sounds a bit away from our experience, I found it encouraging to think of the legacy of Cardinal Newman. Now he's halfway to becoming a saint, isn't he, after the Pope's visit. Much more recent than all these. And he wrote the hymn, Lead Kindly Light Amid the Encircling Gloom. Not something you might expect someone with radiant faith to write. But he wrote the night in this hymn, the night is dark and I'm far from home. The distant scene I do not ask to see. One step, O Lord, one step enough for me. And when we feel it's all a struggle, this faith business, struggling to live our lives as Christians, well, so did John Henry Newman. But he kept at it, despite his real doubts. An encouragement, therefore, for us, if we don't feel particularly inspired sometimes, to keep at it in the difficulties and when we don't see much that lies ahead. But one step can be enough. And finally, the saints of old are a real inspiration and encouragement because they are in glory. They are, as we can read in Scripture and as we've sung, an unseen cloud of witnesses. There's the glorious picture in Revelation, isn't there, of a great multitude that can't be counted from every nation and tribe. There are people who have been faithful, not necessarily successful. And they show us that God's kingdom is not an exclusive club for a few top Christians. It's as all-embracing as God's love, and it is really open to all. You see, as we live our Christian lives, we aren't on our own. We are, to coin a phrase, all in this together. We have God on our side. We have the saints in glory, as it were, cheering us on, willing us on. And we have each other. We're on a journey of discovery of God's love and power, as Ephesians tells us. And it is a journey together. We all know saints today and have done in our lives. The people who encourage us, who welcome us, who affirm us, who are just so kind and good. They aren't recognised by the world. They might not even classify for the unseen heroes that we have votes on at this time of year. But you know, they are worth their weight in gold. You only miss them when they've gone. And you can see the contribution they have made. And people like that, saints like that, remind us all, as the hymn says, children's hymn in the Baptist book. The last verse says, they lived not only, this is saints, they lived not only in ages past. There are hundreds of thousands still. The world is bright with the joyous saints who love to do Jesus' will. You can meet them in school, or in lanes, or at sea, in church, which is a good thing, or in trains, or in shops, or at tea. For the saints of God began just like me. And I mean to be one too. And I trust that we all mean to be saints of God as well. Amen.